News, number 14.
Hours, Universal Time. Here is the news on The Voice of America. I'm Steve Norman in Washington. Peruvian President Alberto Fujimori has insisted that leftist guerrillas holding 340 hostages in Lima lay down their arms and release all captives. Then he says the government would rule out using force against them. He refused to meet the rebels' demands that their comrades be released from jail. The hostages have been held since Tuesday at the Japanese ambassador's residence. Agreeing with President Fujimori, former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, appearing on American television, strongly urges Peru not to make concessions to the leftist rebels. He says giving in to their demands could set a pattern for similar hostage taking in Latin America and elsewhere.
I am totally opposed to any concessions to these terrorists because any significant concessions, I would say indeed any concessions, will lead to undermining the political structure of Peru. Secondly, it will set a pattern in which we may see repetitions of this kind of hostage-taking, which is, in that form, relatively new throughout Latin America and maybe in other countries.
That's Dr. Henry Kissinger, the former U.S. Secretary of State. Pope John Paul has denounced the hostage-taking in Peru as cruel and immoral. In a speech at St. Peter's Square in Rome, the Pope appealed for release of the hostages and asked all to pray for the hearts, in his words, of all those who are responsible for an initiative so deplorable. A bomb went off at a bus stop frequented by Israeli soldiers near Bethlehem Sunday morning, and Palestinians threw several firebombs at Israeli army patrols in Hebron, but there were no injuries. Meanwhile, the chief U.S. mediator arrived from Washington and met with top Israeli and Palestinian leaders on the long-delayed Israeli withdrawal from Hebron. VOA's Al Pessin reports from Jerusalem.
The bomb was planted at a bus stop outside an Israeli settlement near Bethlehem, a usually quiet area where local officials are hoping problems in the peace process will not hurt this week's expected Christmas tourist business. A witness told Israel Radio it was a real miracle there were no soldiers or young students at the bus stop at the moment the bomb went off. As the day went on, Palestinians threw several firebombs at Israeli patrols in Hebron, causing small fires but no injuries. At the same time, Israeli and Palestinian negotiators met, and Mr. Ross sat down with the Israeli foreign and defense ministers. Mr. Ross says he does not expect any breakthrough on the Hebron withdrawal during his visit. Rather, he says his mission is to energize the talks. Before dawn Sunday, the Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat, described his after-midnight meeting with Mr. Ross as fruitful, constructive, and important. Earlier, Mr. Arafat had questioned Mr. Ross's impartiality. The mediator also met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Al Pessin, VOA News, Jerusalem.
An Algerian newspaper says government troops have killed 21 armed Islamic militants near the capital. Reportedly, security forces stormed a guerrilla hideout under greenhouses in a village south of Algiers. The security forces reportedly killed 18 militants and recovered several weapons. In another incident, security forces killed three guerrillas near a cemetery in the Algiers suburb of Benimesius. Five children have been killed in a landmine explosion in Chechnya. VOA's Peter Heinlein in Moscow reports the blast is the latest in a wave of violent incidents that has swept the region in recent days.
Chechnya's information minister, Movladi Udugov, said a remote-controlled landmine exploded early Sunday at a village 10 kilometers from the Chechen capital, Grozny. He said five boys between the ages of 10 and 12 were killed. Mr. Udugov told Russia's Interfax news agency the explosion appeared to have been deliberate. He was quoted as saying the attack may be linked to a series of terrorist acts aimed at civilians in Chechnya over the past several days. The violence began last Tuesday when six International Red Cross delegates were gunned down in their sleep at a hospital for civilian victims of the Chechen War. The next night, six Russians were shot to death in their home in Grozny, and four more Russians were killed Friday in a similar incident. Chechen and Russian leaders have said the killings appeared to be an attempt to disrupt efforts to bring peace to Chechnya. A ceasefire signed last August ended a 21-month war between Russian troops and separatist rebels. As many as 100,000 people were killed in the fighting, most of them civilians. Peter Heinlein, VOA News, Moscow.
Anti-government protesters in Serbia are rallying in Belgrade once again, a day after international experts finished a probe of the nation's disputed elections. Tens of thousands of people marched through the capital for a 33rd day on Sunday to protest the government's annulment of local elections won by the opposition. A European team ended an investigation into the dispute on Saturday. Delegates say they found some problems, but a full report is not expected for about a week. Iranian President Rafsanjani is back in Iran after signing several economic agreements in Ankara despite U.S. pressure on Turkey to limit its dealings with Tehran. Mr. Rafsanjani told a news conference in Ankara that Iran and Turkey will not allow Washington to dictate their policies. The United States has voiced some deep reservations over growing ties between NATO member Turkey and Iran, which Washington accuses of sponsoring terrorism. I'm Steve Norman in Washington. This is the Voice of America. Farmers in Greece are suspending their 24-day strike, a nationwide roadblock that has cost the economy more than $100 million. Strike leaders say roads will be clear at least through the Christmas and New Year holiday season. The farmers acted in the face of crumbling public support and Prime Minister Tsimitas' rejection of their demands for more government subsidies and easier loan payments. In Pakistan, a court has ruled police to continue to detain for another 4 days the husband of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto on charges in connection with the death of her brother. Sarah Horner reports from Islamabad.
The presiding magistrate at the court in Karachi had raised expectations on Saturday there would be progress in the case concerning Aziz Zardari. He had given the investigating officer 24 hours to produce evidence against him. But on Sunday, no evidence was produced, and he was ordered to be presented in court again in 4 days. Mr. Zardari was first detained on November the 5th, the night Benazir Bhutto's government was dismissed by the country's president. 5 days ago, a court ordered Mr. Zardari's release, but the next day, Pakistan authorities issued an arrest warrant for him in connection with the death of Ms. Bhutto's brother, Murtaza Bhutto. He was shot dead in a gun battle with police in Karachi on September the 20th. Pakistan President Farooq Lagari has pointed the finger at Ms. Bhutto's husband. Mr. Bhutto was an arch-rival of his sister and had established a breakaway faction of her Pakistan People's Party. Ms. Bhutto has denied any involvement by her husband in her brother's death and has accused President Lagari of being indirectly involved in the death. Sarah Horner for VOA News, Islamabad.
Cuba has ordered a Russian government journalist in Havana to leave the country, apparently for his alleged involvement in illegal gambling. Konstantin Zhukovsky, a correspondent for Russia's state-run Itar-Tass news agency, is expected to arrive back in Moscow later today. He had been in Cuba for 2 years, detained Thursday in a gambling house in Havana. Republican leaders here in Washington are rallying around House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who has admitted giving inaccurate and unreliable statements to congressional ethics investigators. Top Republican leaders say Mr. Gingrich never intentionally gave false information, and they say they will support his reelection when the newly elected Congress convenes next month. But Democrat David Boyner says the Speaker has repeatedly lied to Congress and is not deserving of the speakership. Also in Washington, the confirmation fight is heating up for President Clinton's nominee to be head of the Central Intelligence Agency. Anthony Lake has been under close criticism regarding his finances and his earlier policy on Bosnia. President Clinton has strongly defended his top aide.
I don't think his confirmation is in jeopardy because he did a superb job as national security advisor, and this country is in better shape than it was 4 years ago, and because he's very well qualified to be head of the CIA.
That's President Clinton. The White House and Mr. Lake are bracing for what likely will be a tough confirmation battle in Congress. However, they think Mr. Lake will be okayed as the next head of the Central Intelligence Agency. The body of Italian actor Marcello Mastroianni has been taken to Rome's Verano Cemetery for burial. Thousands of mourners, including actress Sophia Loren, filed past the coffin on Saturday. Rome Mayor Francesco Rutelli presided over the funeral service. The actor died on Thursday in Paris. He had cancer and he was 72 years old. These are the news headlines. U.S. Mideast envoy Dennis Ross is in the Middle East on a mission he says is aimed at re-energizing the flagging peace process. Hundreds of police in Bangladesh storm a prison to end a week-long inmates revolt, and authorities in Chechnya say a remote-controlled landmine killed 5 young boys. The news on the Voice of America, I'm Steve Norman in Washington.
Tell me, 课堂, 欢迎你. 听力课堂, 欢迎你. 听啊, 点啊.